Now, this week's parsha we learned, we mentioned yesterday, is Yitzchak and Rivka. Yitzchak and Rivka and Eliezer, the parsha of Shidduchim. So let's start with a question about davening, the koyach of tefillah for Shidduchim. On the one hand, we definitely know that beyond the shadow of a doubt, that the koyach of tefillah is extremely important in a successful zivuk. How do we know that? It's a Gemara. The Gemara says, "Lezos yispalel kol chosid le'es mitzvah." Pasuk says, "For this, a chosid shadavin le'es mitzvah for a time of finding." Okay, which Chazal say to explain to mean that a person should daven for a zivuk. I'll read you the whole Gemara. The Gemara says the brachos, right in the being of Shas. Daf Chesam and Aleph al Zois Yispalel Kol Chosid Le'es Mitzoy. Amar Rabbi Chanina Le'es Mitzoy Zo Isha. The word Mitzoy is a code word for a wife. Shenemar Motzo Isha Motzo Toiv. Rashi, now what does it mean you should be Mispalel? This is a very fascinating Rashi. Rashi Yispalel Sheyuhu Mitzuyon Lo Kishayitztorech. What does that mean? You should daven. It's a very incredible Rashi. You should daven that it should be available to you when you will need it. What does that mean? I don't know exactly what it means, but it sounds like this is my take on it. That when it comes to tefillah, generally, you daven when you need something. When at this moment, if at this moment you need something, if this moment we need something, then you daven. But if you don't need it, if you'll need it 10 years from now, you'll worry about it then. You don't have to plan out your whole life, every single moment, what's going to be in 10, 20 years, 30 years from now. When you'll need something, you'll deal with the situation, you'll daven. How many things are there in life where you have to daven your entire life so that when the time comes, everything should go smoothly? Shidduchim. Now, I know you'll say, well, I'm already married. Yeah, but what about your children? What about your grandchildren, right? People, how many grandparents, they go to weddings and all they talk about is, maybe you know some of my granddaughter, maybe you know some of my grandson. Okay, people, tefillah for shidduchim is not just for yourself. When you're 18 years old and you start planning what's going to be in 4 years from now, maybe people getting married when they're 22, 23, I should start davening now when I'm 18 years old, even younger, that when the time comes for shidduchim, everything should go smoothly, everything should be in position. But what about parents? The moment their child is born, they start davening every single day. If you have not started davening for your child when he's 5 years old, you're 5 years too late. You daven as soon as they're born. You daven that when the time comes for them to get married, everything should go smoothly. Everything should fall into place. Grandparents daven for their grandchildren. V'chulu v'chulu. Rashi says when it comes to shidduchim, it's something that a person should constantly daven for, so that when the time comes, when the person now needs to get married, it's either now or never. The time has come. Ad kan hakofa aleph, the time has come. Everything should fall into place. And what's the proof for this? The proof for this idea is, when do we? Let me take a step back. From this Chazal, you learn one thing clear as day. If Chazal emphasized in tefillah to daven for shidduchim, they were very serious. I'll give you another example. There's a halacha that on during the 9 days and even on Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to get married. It's not a time to get married during the 9 days. It's a time of avelos. Are you allowed to get engaged? Are you allowed to finalize a shidduch during the 9 days? What about on Tisha B'Av? Yes, 100% permitted to get engaged on Tisha B'Av. How can you get engaged on Tisha B'Av? It's Shema Yikadmena Acher Ber Acher. Because if you don't get engaged right away, it's an emergency, someone else will take away your bashert. Shema Yikadmena Acher. And Rashi there says, what do you mean they're going to hijack of someone? Berachamim. Someone else may have their eyes set on, it's not clear what it means, on either this particular person that you're interested in, or this person wants to get married very much, and he's mispalel to Hashem, please have rachamim, provide me with a zivuk, and your zivuk happens to appear in front of them at that particular time, and then you lose out. Doesn't necessarily mean someone's going to pray specifically for a person, but another person has an emergency to get married, and he'll be mispalel, that may affect you. Shema yikadmena acher, Rashi, berachamim, what is rachamim? With tefillah. So here are two Mamari Chazal, which clearly indicate, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the koyach of tefillah is critical in zivugim. L'zos yispalel kol chosid le'es mitzo, and shema yikadmena acher, acher berachamim. Now, if that is the case, my question to you is, and this is not my question, this is the world's question, how come then in the nusach of tefillah, go through it with a fine comb, and you will discover nowhere in our daily tefillos, from beginning from Moda Ani until you finish Kriya Shema Al Hamita, if you say Adon Olam in the Kriya Shema Al Hamita until the very end, do you ever directly pray in the Nusach HaTefillah in our liturgy for a zivuk, for Shidduchim? Hayitochem? Can there be such a thing? If Chazal clearly indicated in the Gemara that it is critical that a person daven for Shidduchim in order for it to work, how come then in the Nusach HaTefillah nowhere is there any mention of being mispalel for a zivuk? That's the question. Now, to answer that question, first of all, I have to tell you it's false. What I just said is sheker. Because there is one or two places where you explicitly do ask for zivugim, and that is by a bris milah. Kishem shenichnas lebris, kein yikones l'toira ulechupa. You pray to Hashem that this 8-year-old child should merit a zivuk, should be nichnas l'chuppah. This is serious business. Where else in our liturgy are we mispalel for shidduchim? Pidyon haben. Kashem, I don't remember the exact words, but we say exactly, if you ever go to a pidyon haben ceremony, pay attention. Because we say there, just as this child has been redeemed, he should merit dikones l'toira ulechupa ulemasim toivim. It's kedai, it's worthy to be a firstborn, so that they pray for you twice. Why is the bechor called the bechor? What is the real pi shnayim? A bechor gets pi shnayim. What does that mean? Today, do firstborns get pishnayim in the modern world, 21st century? Something tells me they don't. I mean, technically, they're supposed to get a pishnayim. Women get nothing in Yerusha. And if Bechor gets pishnayim, libi oimer li that in today's modern world, most firstborns don't get pishnayim, and most girls get an equal portion, and they have a living, halachic living will, leman hasholim, and they somehow, they do give a Bechor more, a token, thank you very much. They give the Bechor a token, extra quarter, in order to be mekayim what it says in the Torah, that a Bechor gets pishnayim, and they give a girl maybe a nickel less, in order to be mekayim that Noshim do not get a chilek in the Yerusha. But generally today people have very different, whatever the mitzias is. So, but where today does a Bechor really, really get pishnayim? You know where they really get pishnayim? Because the tzibur prays, they davens for a bechor twice, that he should get married. At his bris milah, and at his pidyon haben. But if you're not a bechor, or even if you're a bas koyin or a bas levi, then no one's praying that you should get married, because there is no pidyon haben. So that's a drush of a pishnayim, a pishnayim for a bechor. Girls, I'm not aware. There is no, you know when you daven for a girl, it's very, there is something very interesting. When you do daven for a girl, you say, but when they name a girl, kashem, what do they say to gadleha le. Oh, they don't say with lebento. Yeah, they say some say lebentira, but what is the standard nusach in the siddur for a girl? Give me, let me get a sitter. Let me get a, give me a sitter 1 second. Okay, we go to Monday morning football. Gesundheit. Okay. Mi sheberach layoledes. Okay, mi sheberach avoseinu avraham yisav yakov huyivarech hisha hayoledes. Ploni ba... Vies bina, vies bita, bita, hanolodola bimazol tov, viyikorei shema biyisrael, so and so, ba'avur shabala vivitin litztaka bischarze yigadela lichupa. Ulema'asim toivim v'noimar amen. That's powerful stuff. Okay, when you name a girl, when you name a girl, it is the only time in her life that the tzibur publicly is mispalel for her by name, for her to get married. Talk about a shuch crisis. It all starts on the day when they announce. I always say, you know, it's scary stuff. Okay, it's really, this is the, is there any other time in our liturgy where Chazal have sanctioned, there's a nusach that is standardized. I'm not sure who wrote this nusach and when this nusach came into existence. Obviously, this is not on the level of the Shemona Esrei. Okay, this is not a, but is there anywhere a nusach that has been standardized in the entire Klal Yisrael to say such a nusach? Yigadala lichupa ulamasim tovim. In some places they say, here in the art scroll Sidur, it says yigadala lisoira. It adds in the parentheses that you should raise her in the ways of Torah. And I know that I davened in Yeshiva Chaim Lund many, many years, and there the minig is, I remember my father, he was blown away when I told him this, that the minig there was when someone has a girl, they make the mishberach, they say, l'gadala, yigadala, l'soira, uleben Torah, l'chupa ulemasim tovim, that she herself should be l'Torah, and she should marry. They even add, not just l'chupa, that's not even good enough. Not just that she gets married, she should marry a Talmud Chacham, a Ben Torah. My father couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe the Nusach. He was so blown away that they had, where does that come from? Where do they have, who invented that Nusach? How are you even allowed to say that Nusach? It doesn't even say. But that's what they do. That's the nusach they use. I don't know where it comes from. But isn't it amazing that when a girl is born, you mispalel, at least every nusach says l'chupa. Where else do you have in the nusach of davening such a thing? Nowhere. When a boy is born, a boy, you also, when you name a boy, well, the boy, when the boy is, when you make a mirush for the mother, you don't, do you say this? You do say, but you don't give it the name. You don't say the name. It's a little bit different because the boy, you don't name a boy when you get an aliyah, you name a boy at the bris, and at the bris, the oilam together says, k'shem shnitzel the bris, can you konis l'toru l'chup l'masim tovim? By opinion, I ben, you do it again. So wait a minute, the kid is only 8 days old. Come on now, 8 days old. You worry about shaduchim. You worry about shaduchim when he's 8 days old. A girl could be even less. Okay, now you know why girls get married before boys. Because this didn't start, they didn't daven for the boy until he was 8 days old. The girl got a head start. The girl, they named the girl very quickly. Okay, you can name the girl the next day, bo bayom. Usually the girl is named before 8 days. And they're already davening for a shidduch for the girl, which is already 2-3 days old, even 1 day old. It's amazing. So what's the pshat? Well, Rashi tells us the pshat. Lezois yispalel kol chosid le'es mitzoy. Rashi explains, it doesn't mean, oh, guess what? I'm now on the market. I'm now have entered the meat market. Here I am. Hineini. Oh, so now we're going to be mispalel too late. The nature of tefillah for shaduchim begins immediately. And the nature is that when a person will need le'es hatzorech, whatever that means, when a person will now need, he feels now is the time I need to get married. When you're 5 years old, you don't need to get married. When you're 10 years old, you don't need to get married. When you're whatever age, you don't need. Not everyone is ready. Everyone is different, whenever the age is. When the time comes and you feel, okay, I'm now ready to move ahead in life, the next stage of life, now let's work on it. When that moment comes, you better make sure that in your back pocket, you have decades, years of tefillah behind you. And we see that clearly from the nusach of our minhagim, where mispalel for shaduchim immediately with the birth of a boy or by the birth, a girl, when they name the girl, already you see explicitly the nusach of tefillah. But the question, yes.
The boy is on the same footing as the girl, because when you make the mishabeirah for the yoledes, which could be 7 days before the bris, okay, you already say.
But you don't say the name. It's not the same. It's true. You're right. No, you're right. But it's you don't say the name. It's weaker in a certain sense. Okay, this is all obviously, you know, we're splitting hairs over here. We're playing games over here. But maybe we are. Maybe we're not. But when you make the mishrech for the yoledes and shabavur shabino, you just say ikanes l'toru l'chub l'masim tovim, but you don't say the name.
That also could be 7 days later. Some people have a minig; they wait for Shabbos to name the baby. The baby is born on Sunday.
Right. Different minhagim. There are different minhagim as to when is the ideal time to name a child, a girl. When you name right away, but it's usually, even if it's 7 days later, it's usually before Shabbos. It's usually before 8 days. All right, I'm just throwing out this. But when you give a mishrech for the yoledes, you do mention the child should grow up l'chub, but you don't mention by name. So it's a weaker type of tefillah, if you can say that. The ikur obviously is not the name; it's the kavana and the people to answer amen, to have kavana. Who knows? Who knows if only when people were born at the bris milah, when they made the mishrech, if people would really pay attention to the mishrech and really have kavana. Would it make a difference? We have a munah that tefillah makes a difference. When it comes to shidduchim, the goal is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is yoyshev the entire day mezavik zivugim. What does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is putting everything into position. Shidduchim is a very complex process that two people should meet up with each other in the right time and the right place. A lot of things, you need an enormous amount of siyata d'shmaya, that everything should work out, that the hashkafa of the boy and the girl should be in sync. So they'll be and they'll be able to meet each other and the parents and the locations and this and that. This takes divine planning from the time of birth. You gotta give Hashem a head start. You can't come and hold Hashem hostage that all of a sudden you wake up one day, okay, here I am, hineni, give me a shidduch. You can't hold Hashem hostage. You need to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu advance warning to make things work out over a natural process of a lifetime. And Chazal tells us, when does that process begin? It begins at the moment the child is born. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yoshim Zavik
Zivudim.
Even before, you're right, you're saying it's even before. You're saying very good that the process begins even before. Even before, you're right. Baruch Atah Adonai Elohim Melech Olam Shakol Liyad B'dvaroi. You're right, in Echonami, the process begins even before that. Okay. So, but now let's elaborate on that. Once already we know, once we've laid out this foundation, that tefillah is critical. And we know Shema Yikadmena Acher Berachamim. Someone can take away your shidduch. That's what it says, to some degree, on Tisha B'Av. And we know that the koyach of tefillah is to pray immediately from the time the child is born, as we see by a boy and a girl, we must follow by the Mishaberach, by the Bris Milah. Question. So where then do we ever daven for shidduchim and the rest of the davening? Very nice. The baby is 8 days old. We made him meet a Mishaberach, yeah, and that's it. That's it. There's no more. There's no more mention of tefillah for the child for the rest of his life. For shidduchim, well, show me. Just because you think in your mind, shidduch, but wouldn't you expect Chazal to formulate, to articulate some words which are meaningful in the nusach tefillah that we say every day in order to bring out the purpose and the goal of a zivug? So let's first discuss some, we don't. There's nothing explicit. There's only remosim. Let's discuss some of the remosim. Okay, first of all, I think the ultimate remez, I think is on Rosh Hashanah. The ultimate remez on Rosh Hashanah where we say, Hashem is tzoyfe in the nusach of Rosh Hashanah Soife umabit at soif kol adoros. Zeicha odam bol lefonov. Okay, I don't have the whole nusach in front of me, but the basic nusach is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is soife umabit at soif kol adoros. Hashem, He looks ahead to the end of all generations. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He sees how all the pieces of come together. That nusach that we recite in Rosh Hashanah, acknowledging Kadosh Baruch Hu, is planning the entire history of mankind from beginning to end, is a form of prayer of Shidduchim. Because what in essence is a zivug? A zivug is, there are many elements, but the main purpose of zivugim is to mekayim the mitzvah of periyah u'reviyah, to have children, to produce another generation, and that generation should produce another generation, v'chulu v'chulu. Well, people have to get along with each other, people have to fit, there has to be chemistry, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to plan way, way ahead. Maybe today, for one generation, it'll be a wonderful, wonderful marriage. But it's not going to produce the type of children that in three generations are going to be able to find zivugim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to change. Although this zivug may appear in your eyes to be the perfect ideal shidduch, but you don't understand that the children this will produce in three generations from now are going to have a very difficult time finding zivugim, because that's just the way the DNA of you and your zivug. For you it's good, but not necessarily three generations later on is it going to be good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is tsoife umabit. He gazes and he looks at soif kol adoros. Zecher odom betach buloisav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he looks at a person's actions, his deeds, the consequences. He sees the big picture. The nusach of tefillah on Rosh Hashanah is very unique in that it focuses on the big, big picture, which spans generations, and the only way that this can be successful is through HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Yoshev u'mezavik zivugim kol hayom. So we do have a remes, at least in the Nusach on Rosh Hashanah, and that portion of the Musaf, which mentions these ideas to be mechavein for zivugim.
Is that for Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi?
Yes,
from
yes.
Yom Kippur?
No, that's Rosh Hashanah. That I think is from Zichroinos. I'm not mistaken. That's from Zichros. Let me get a sitter. Give me one more. I'll get a sitter.
Zichronos. Oh, so Zichronos. Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
All right. Have here Rosh Hashanah Machzor. Here we go. It's kedai to read the words. Malchios. Let's see, where is Kedush Sayoim? Malchios Zichroinos. One moment. Okay, here it is. Here it is. Ato zoicha maase oilom. Ufoikeid, you remember, kol yitzurei kedem. Lefonecha niglu kol ta'alumois v'hamoin nisrois m'shemibreishis. Here goes. Ato you Hashem zoicher, you remember es kol hamifol, all deeds, all actions. The gam kol hayitzur loy nichod mimeka. Every creature is not denied. The acknowledgement, the awareness of every creature is not denied from you. Hakol golui v'yadur lefonech, everything is revealed. Hashem elokeinu tsoife, you gaze umabit and you look. At soif kol hadoros, kisavi choyk zikaroin lipakeid kol ruach, comes before you, the law of remembrance to remember kol ruach vonofesh, every spirit, lizochem masim rabim hamon brios leintachlis mereishke. He goes on. This idea, I believe, is merames on the inyan of Shidduchim and Zivugim. Okay, another remes.
Rabbi, we will agree that that's not a very strong remes.
Okay, it's not a very strong remes, but there's something there.
If we want to look for
Okay, it's not very strong. Okay,
every
it's not.
Every time we say, or selling kol
misharoti,
Okay. I'll tell you another remez, which it says, which we came across in Ma'ariv. In Ma'ariv, we say Amaver Banov ben Gizre Yamsof. V'yesroidfem v'yesreim b'soymos tiba. Hamavir, what does it mean? Hamavir bonav ben gizre yamsof. It should say, shehevir bonav ben gizre yamsof. Hamavir bonav is loshon hoive. Hashem causes to pass his children between the splitting of the yamsof, the parts of the yamsof. Excuse me, this already happened long ago. This is ancient history. Hashem was heavier bonav ben gizre yamsof. There's nothing more to do. The answer is, Chazal tell us, koshe lezavgon ki kriyas yamsof. Every zivug is another kriyas yamsof. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he continues every single day. Every single day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues to split the yam to bring his bonav between the gizre yamsof. So that's a pretty outright open remez to the principle of shiduchim v'zivugim. Okay, then there is from Rabbi Rav David Cohn. I always tell this to you. This I told you many times. Rav David Cohn from Gvul Yavitz. He has a lot of different angles of explaining what it means matir asurim. We say in the bracha mechayim esim, soimech noiflim v'reifei cholim u'matir asurim. Is that really so important to mention in the second bracha? Okay, soimech noiflim, we're all depressed. Let's be realistic here. Everyone can use a little boost in the arm. And reifei cholim, machmona litzlan, there are a lot of sick people. U'matir asurim. How many people do you know are in prison? Hopefully none. And if you know, why are they there? Maybe it's good that they're there. Protect them. Protect us from them. You want them to get out of prison? Umatir asurim, if they're in prison, there's a reason why they're in prison. How many people do you really know that are locked away for no good reason, that really do not deserve? Okay, it happens. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. Rahmana litzlan, we know it happens. So, what's going on here? Matir asurim, Hashem, he releases those that are imprisoned. This is so critical to mention in the first bracha, mechayim esim. Come on, we're talking over here, dover hashove l'chol nefesh. Chazal did not write nusach for rare, bizarre situations. Put in nusach. Ribbono shel olam, there's a guy in the Staver, there's a guy that's climbing Mount Everest and he's stuck up there and it's very easy. He can't breathe. Yishev rachmanis on him. That's what you're going to daven every three times a day to worry about the theoretical man who's stuck up there on Mount Everest and can't make his way down or can't contact. Come on. Chazal wrote nusach for the common man, the common situation. How often do you have a situation where a person is in prison? The words literally mean you release those who are imprisoned. Like I told you, if you're in jail, it must be most of the time, 90% of the time, if you're locked away, it's for a good reason, and you should stay locked away. And the 10% of the time, it's not all that common. And when it happens, we'll deal with it. We'll worry about it. So obviously, it means something very different. It means something entirely different. And according to, not to go make a long story short, according to Rav David Cohn, what it really means is shiduchim. Every person who is not married is in the category of a prisoner. And there's a pasuk. The pasuk says, I forgot the pasuk. I always forget all the important things. There's a pasuk that says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he takes out prisoners with song and crying. I don't remember the pasuk on the tip of my tongue. Maybe somebody remembers the pasuk. Kosharois hamatir kosharois b'kisharois matir asurim hamatir asurim b'kisharois b'chisharois, with crying and song. I don't remember the exact words of the pasuk, but that pasuk Chazal explained to mean shiduchim, and that pasuk, it refers to zivugim. And the word Asurim, according to Rav David Cohn, is really a remez. Hashem is Matir Asurim. A man who is not married is a prisoner. And everyone will tell you this, every book and every shatran and every Baal Musar who talks to people who are not married, they all say the same thing over and over again, like a broken record, that until you're married, you can't reach your full potential. Okay, this is what you'll hear a billion times over and over. Take it from one who knows. Until you're married, you cannot bring out your full potential in life. Every person is a chatzi guf. You need another partner to bring out. You're a prisoner. What is a prisoner? What's wrong with being a prisoner? In America, they give you a nice big room, television, probably have internet now, and you have visitors, you have food. So what's so bad? What's so bad? Free rent. They give you a job. You can make 32 cents a day, doing some gardening. What's so bad being a prisoner? You have a good life. Sit and do nothing. They even give you a college degree. They'll give you activities. That's not what life is. You cannot reach your potential, your purpose, your mission in life, being locked behind bars, even if you have what to eat and what to read and what to do and what to keep yourself occupied. That's not your purpose in this world. Your purpose in this world is to achieve, to accomplish much greater things than being locked up. A prisoner is a person that's unable to achieve his potential. When you mispalel umatir asurim, it is a prayer, a praise to Hashem, and a subtle prayer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He brings about Shidduchim and Zivugim. And He releases people from their limitations. We make a bracha just on this alone. Baruch Ad, every single one. Baruch Ad, Tavkim, Melechulam, Matir, Asurim. You know, whatever. So what the Pshutai, Shal Mikra means, when you go to sleep, it's called Chevlei Sheina. Chevlei Sheina means ropes. Ropes of sleep. When you wake up in the morning, the ropes of sleep have been untied. So when you're sleeping, you're basically, you're tied up in a metaphorical sense. When you wake up in the morning, the ropes have been released, matir asurim. That's the pshat. But the drush is, when you wake up in the morning, you make a bracha on your wife. You make a bracha, if you wake up, pokeach ivrim, wow, I can see, zoykev, I can stand, I have a hat. Oiter Yisrael b'sefara. I have a belt. Roik haaretz al hamayim. And one of the brachas you make is, you wake up in the morning, and in the room, you have a spouse. Wow, look at that. I'm married. I have a spouse. I'm not alone. Baruch atah Hashem lekeinu melech haolam. Matir asurim. Once upon a time, You released me from my bondage. You released me. I was limited in this world. I wasn't able to achieve my potential. And look at that. You released me from this bondage by providing me with a spouse, which allows me to go forth. So Rav David Cohn learns, Al derech drush, the bracha is on your wife or on your husband. And Matir Asim Shimona Esrei is really a remes to Shidduchim and Zivugim. Okay, so we give a couple of remazim.
Matir asur. He asura isha asura leish, unless this is married. He's married. He's matir.
Interesting. You're saying good. You're saying that do al tikre asurim el isurim. Isurim. That's what Shabsai Tzvi did. Shabsai Tzvi, he made a bracha matir isurim, and he ate chazer. He ate a piece of chazer, and he said, "E with a prohibition." So he's saying it's not a joke, because when you get married, erisin, the wife is osar. Asher osar lanu esfarusos, it's osar. And then when you do nisuin, you matir the isur. So al tikre ah with the patach, which means a prisoner, el with a chirik with a dot. So the prohibition, Hashem, you released me from the prohibition. This woman I was forbidden to, because we had the way marriage goes, you first start out with erusin, and then when you have nisuin, she becomes permitted. So you're saying a very nice drush that it's the conclusion of marriage. Very interesting. Okay, so this is right now. Now, all the remazim I've given you, are they really satisfying you? No. told you remez on Rosh Hashanah, Sefer Mabed, Sefer Kol HaDoros, Matiras Surim is a remez, Hagoy, Mavir Bono Ben Gizre Yamsuf is a remez. Okay, we said explicitly, Geshem, Shnichnas, Labrisk, and Yekonis, Lotor, Lachuba, Masim, Toivim. I'm sure there are more Ramazim, which I don't remember. There are probably a lot of Ramazim. But it really doesn't answer the question. It doesn't really answer the question. The question is a much better question. Chazal, they tease you. When you're born, the first thing that they daven for your Shirach. And then Chazal disappear into the sunset. Gone. They no longer have for you any Nusach and Tefillah to pray for your marriage. The answer is much better than all the Ramazim. They're very nice and cute, but it doesn't really answer the question. So what's the real answer? So I want to suggest to you, the real answer is basically everything in davening is for a shirach. Now, what do I mean by that? What is the value of getting married? Well, there is no answer to that question. Every single person gains from marriage something different. For some people, if they're not married, they will literally lose their minds. It's a refuah. Okay, one of the things you see, older singles, people who don't get married, they really become crazy. They objectively, okay, we're talking about objective, there is a certain stability that marriage offers that when a person's not married, you just lose. For some people, marriage is parnasa. Whether you want to say it's a mazel, they say that when a person is married, he has a koich of mazel of parnasa, or you want to say that he marries a rich girl. I don't know what you want to say, whatever you want to say, but for some people, marriage is a means. He works for his shver, okay, he works, or whatever it means, or his wife forces him to go get a job, get out of the house, get a job, go make parnasa, try something, don't just sit around and do nothing. For some people, marriage is parnasa. For some people, marriage is refuah. For some people, marriage, it's salicha, forgiveness. Because when a person is not married, the averos that he can do, the Gemara says this, the main purpose of getting marriage is to prevent you from doing averos. When a person is not married, a healthy man that's not married is a very big problem. It's a very big problem. And just being married saves you from doing averos. It's salicha. For some people, marriage is an opportunity to have children, to be in the midst of to do chesed. You have children, do chesed. There are no two people that gain from marriage the same thing. There are certain people, if they were not married, then marriage doesn't do anything for them in a certain respect. They don't need marriage to achieve this, to achieve a certain area in their life. And just the opposite, marriage gets in the way. Every single person, without exception, has what to gain. And what is a gain for you is not a gain for somebody else. And when you go through the Nusach of Tefillah, the 18, 19 brachos, and everything in Tefillah, there is no question that one of the items there in the Nusach of Tefillah, the only way to achieve that is through a wife. For some people, the only way you're going to achieve Rifa'enu is, you know, you go to a doctor. Doctor says you got to take medicine. Okay, if you got to take medicine, so this is the medicine. Being married is the medicine for the rifa'enu. Some people, you want slicha, you go to your rabbi. How am I going to have slicha? Well, the medicine is if you were married, you wouldn't have this problem. For some people, parnasa, and the list goes on and on. The solution to all of the issues and the problems that we mention in the Nusach HaTzfil of Shmona Esrei, the solution is marriage. So the truth is, it's not that Chazal, why didn't they insert into the Nusach of Tzfila a blessing just for Shidduch? Look, we have a bracha just for Parnasa. We have a bracha just for Refuah, just for Geula. This is a basic necessity of life, marriage. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yoshev Mezavik Zivugin the entire day. I mean, this is basics. So put a bracha. What would be so harmful? No. It's not a good idea. Because putting a specific bracha for marriage, you would be limiting the purpose of marriage. It would just sound like marriage, you got a wife, you got a husband, you put him in a box. It's like Corona your whole life. You put your partner in a glass cage. That's what marriage is. You put them in a glass cage. That's marriage. That's what a bracha would be all about. That's not what it is. There is the element of success and life and achievement that comes with marriage. And what you achieve is not what your friend achieves. Kesheim she'en partzufeim shavas, kach ein de'oseim shavas. Just like no two people look alike, no two people think alike. No two people have a different need. The goal and purpose is so vast, you can't just write a generic bracha. It spans the entire Shemona Esrei. It's all over. Okay, that is my suggestion as to why there is no nusach, specific nusach, because the truth is, it's really part of life. And each bracha, to achieve success in each particular bracha, it's assumed part of the bracha is there's going to be a zivug that's going to help you achieve that part, that specific bracha.
Rabbi, your question is much better than the answer. The question of why there's no specific bracha for a nusach for shiluchim.
Rav Mordechai does not like my answer. He's still not satisfied. The question is still a good question. The question remains a question. But we've given here, I gave you, there are remazim. I gave you a suggestion to explain, which I see from the look on your faces, is not necessarily satisfactory to everyone, which is fine. Which absolutely, the question still remains. The question stands. Okay, let's discuss now another topic. Let's discuss the topic, a very short topic, the age of getting married. What is the proper age to get married? There is no answer. The Gemara says 18 years old. Well, does the Gemara really say 18 years old? The Rambam, there's a very big debate as the Rambam writes about the age of getting married, and there's a very big debate if there's a tos hadufus, if the words of the Rambam were tampered with. The Rambam says 16 or 17 is the ideal age to get married. What about the Gemara? The Gemara says 18. Then the Gemara talks about that if a person, Hashem is Yoshev Mitzapa, when will a person get married? And until 20 years old. And if a person is not married by 20 years old, Hashem says, Tipach Atz Moisav, may his bones burst, a klola, bone disease. You're going to need to go to a bone specialist because of the curse that you have not gotten married by the age of 20. So wait, but the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says 18. How could the Rambam disagree with the Perek and Mishnah in Pirkei Avos and say 16 or 17? And the Gemara says that the cutoff time is 20. And we have stories in the Gemara where people got married. The Gemara says, The Gemara says that I should have gotten married when I was 13 years old. One of the Amoraim says, you know why my friends are better than me? It's because they got married before me. And if I would have gotten married when I was 13 years old, oh, it would have been unbelievable. 13 years old. You should get married when you're 13 years old. I mean, what's going on over here? So when is the proper age? According to the Midrashim, according to our calculation, Avraham Avinu was 25 years old when he got married. So he was in violation of what it's the Rambam. He violated what it says in Pirkei Avos. He violated what it says in the Gemara Tipach Atz Moisav. And even the Gemara that says you give Musar to your children until the age of 24, which sounds like if you pass 24, forget it. And Avraham Avinu was 25 years old when he got married. Yaakov was 84 years old when he got married. Yaakov Avinu. How old was Yitzchak when he got married? 40 years old. What's going on over here? What's the proper age to get married? Okay, so there really, obviously, there is no clarity. It's when you're ready. It's when you're ready. It's when Hashem puts, it's not at all clear. Some say that he's supposed to get married. Another, remember, it says the word Adam. 18 times in the Torah until Adam got married. In the Torah, if you count the word Adam, it says 18, the word Adam 18 times. It says another drush that says, and there are other Muslim to all different ages. So obviously all of these things, they don't add up. And okay, it's a tzarchin, okay, there really is no good, the question is better than the answer. It used to be, it's very fascinating, there used to be in Yerushalayim, a very serious, I don't know what year this was, goes back probably maybe 200 years, 300 years, there was a very serious ban, cherem, a boy, a man, over the age of 20, who is not married, is not allowed to live in Yerushalayim. And it was a very serious curse. And they enforced this. If you're over the age of 20 years old, a man, a boy, a man who is not married, it is categorically forbidden to live in the holy city Yerushalayim. It's you're a balavera, 20 years old, and you're not married. A healthy male who's not married over the age of 20 years old, this is not a davar shebikedusha. You must
talk about pressure.
You must leave, and they would actually pick up people and force them, and the Gedolei Yisrael signed off on this. They signed off on this. And what is now, and what happened? Just somehow it just, in later years, all the tzaras of Golos, it just somehow dissolved. No one enforced it. But it's very, very fascinating that Rav Avadya Yosef Zeched Tzadik Levracha, he bothered him this. It bothered him this ban, this famous cherem to live in Yerushalayim over the age of 20, and he formed a bezdin. I have the names of the people who he got together, a bezdin, and they sat down, and they officially canceled the cherem. He said that today, obviously, we live in a world where it's just not possible. Either because people are not mature, or they don't have parnasa. There are a thousand reasons why the complex world does not allow every person to get married when they're 20 years, by the time they're 20 years old. But it bothered him to no end that there was for generations, or for, I don't know, generations, but for decades, a real curse for a single male over the age of 20 to be a resident of Yerushalayim. And he took it upon himself to form a bezdin, Rav Avadya Yosef, the chief rabbi of Israel, together with his colleagues, to cancel this cherem. No one today living in Yerushalayim who's over the age of 20 that's not married should chas v'shalom be subject to this curse. Even though no one's enforcing it, obviously, for generations, no one's paying any attention to this, but they were very holy people who demanded, hey, you're over 20 years old, you're not married? How dare you live in the holy city, Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh? How can you do this? He didn't like this. Canceled. Modern times, how many years ago? This is not that long ago. How many years ago did he do this? 20 years ago, 15 years ago? He sat down to cancel this ban. Okay, now let's go to another quick thing, shtadlus. How much shtadlus do you really have to do to get married? Do you have to go to singles events? Do you have to give out your resume to every shatran in the world? What is the degree of shtadlus? So something very interesting. This is not only for shidduchim, this is for everything. And I'm telling you now, dvar peshutim ad ma'od. But so sometimes when you find someone writes something in words and explains something simple, obvious concepts, it just somehow wakes you up. There's a sefer called the Pella Yoyetz. One of the Gedolei Yisrael, I don't know who he was, he lived a long, long time ago, the Pella Yoyetz, and he writes something in very simple words. And he writes that in this world, there are people that are born with mazel. There are three categories of people, he said. Again, I'm telling you, you don't need a sefer for this, but just to review some basic yesodos. There are three types of people. It's like the joke I always tell you. There are three types of people in this world. Those who know how to count, and those who don't. Okay, put aside the jokes. There are three types of people. There are people that are born with a mazel. Whatever they do, they will succeed. They can go and hide in a basement. And the next day they wake up and they're millionaires. How? I don't know, because a guy, he bought a ticket for the lottery and he lost it and it blew into my basement. And now here's the winning ticket. I'm a millionaire. You can do everything wrong. Make every possible mistake and you will automatically succeed. And there are people that are born with a mazel that whatever you do, you will fail. There's nothing you can do. It's just a bizarre, bizarre hashkacha pratis. Those are yechidim. The Peleoid says, the vast majority of this world falls into a middle category where make out of life, you know what your mazel is? Whatever you make out of it. If you do your hishtadlus, you'll succeed. And if you don't, you'll fail. There are three categories of people. There are people that are destined to fail. You can't prevent that. People that are guaranteed to succeed no matter what stock they buy, they're going to be millionaires. That's the way. There are everyone else. There is no determination. The only determination, your mazel is, if you sweat and you work on something, you'll succeed. And if you don't work and you don't struggle, you don't go through the effort, you won't succeed. No one in this world knows what category they're in. In hindsight, you can look back and you can look at people, this guy was a loser. No matter what he did, no matter what he touched, he couldn't make a penny. This guy, Meshuggah, look where he is. He's unbelievable what he does there. But everyone else, you have to assume in this world you are in the middle category. And don't pollute your mind by thinking, oh, it's going to happen.
But the Divrei Torah, we say, you got the mitzvah.
We're not talking about Divrei Torah. We're talking about in Yonah the Alma. Let's talk about in Yonah the Alma. In Shidduchim, in Parnasa, Peleoid says, the average, you have to assume you're in the middle category. In the middle category, if you do your shtadlus, you'll succeed. If you don't do your shtadlus, you're going to fail. It's true there are people that are not in this category, but you can't assume you're in from the other category. And even that, you can look back in hindsight to see who was in the other category, doing a scientific analysis of making every possible mistake and yet coming out on the top. But the average person, you got to do your shtadlus. Don't take this chazal, arboim yoim kodem hayitzira bas panim leploni, and you can sit around and do nothing. No, there is definitely value to doing hishtadlus. Today, there's an enormous amount of hishtadlus that goes on in the world of shidduchim, enormous amount of hishtadlus, and some people, they criticize, it's too much, too little, to this, to that. There is a shtadlus to each his own, and there's definitely something to it. Okay, last topic.
I met you. The problem is mainly the shidduch crisis is the girls. The girls are really in trouble. I don't know why, because the boys, they can do whatever they want. And we asked about the sheet of somebody. So he said, well, he has a list of 18 girls already. So if you want to be on the list, well, you'll be the 19th.
That's disgusting.
It's much more difficult. There's no limit.
All right. Okay. This is a big time. Let's not go there. Okay. Let's talk about a shadchan. A shadchan. The inyan of a shadchan. Shadchan. What is the word? Where does the word shadchan come from? Commentators, it comes from the word sheket. It comes from the word, one moment. The word shadchan comes from the word ushedichas ara vatishkoi toaretz arboim shana. It says, I think by Shimshon, vatishkoi toaretz arboim shana. After Shimshon, he killed the Pelishtim. He pulled down the pillars. And the Pelishtim suffered a magnificent defeat. Vatishkoi toaretz. The land was quiet, was peaceful for 40 years. Okay, it says this expression not only by Shimshon, it says it by a few of the Shoftim. After a couple of different battles, successful military operations by Klal Yisrael, Vatishkoi toaretz arboim shana. What is the Aramaic translation of the word Vatishkoit? Targum says, Ushedichas ara. The earth was Shedichas. So what does this tell us? That a Shadchan comes from the word tranquility. Quiet, peace. A peace that comes after a war. A peace, menucha, that comes after a milchama. Now, how does that term relate to the function of the role of a shatran? So there are two popular explanations. One is that an unmarried human being, whether it's a boy or a girl, is in a state of upheaval, a state of chaos. When a person is not married, they're not settled. It's not for nothing when you say about marriage, when are you going to settle down? When are you going to achieve a tishkoi to'oretz arboim shana? Notice, after 40 years of marriage, it's war again. Okay? Yeah, after the 40th year anniversary party, it means it's a declaration of war. Isn't that what it says? Because the word vatishkoit is only used in reference to tranquility of 40 years. Okay, so 50 years, that means 10 years after the war began. Vatishkoit aretz, tranquility. What's the tranquility? Because a human being who is not settled, who's not married, is not settled. That's the expression that we use in society. A lack of settlement. When this person, this professional who knows how to smooth talk and lie and bring about shidduchim, okay, bring about, what is it, what is the result? The result is that the boy and the girl, the chos and the kala, have now settled. Vatishkoi toaretz. He is the enabler of achieving tranquility for the chosan and the kala. The other answer is, very interesting, is there is ein kesuva beloy tigra. There's a rule in Chazal, there's no such thing as a kesuva, which is a code word for a marriage, in which there are no fights. There's always problems between the mechutanim. There's always things that need to be settled out, bills to be paid. There are always issues. You need to go to a third party, a masarser, a third party, to smooth out all of the loose ends. Whenever you bring mezavig two families together, they don't agree on everything. There's no such thing. Everyone has their way, their customs. You need there to be a middleman, a professional middleman, a dispute resolution professionalist, to arbitration, to settle the disputes. A shatran is the person that brings tranquility in a matzav of war. Okay, so we have two very different explanations why we call this so-called professional a shatran. Number one, his role is to bring peace, to be the arbiter, to bring peace in a conflict between two sides, Chos and Kala, and their families, which is inevitable. He smooths things out. He's the one that creates Vatishkoit Aretz. Number two is the human condition is such that a male or a female, until they find their zivug, is in a state of chaos. And when he enables them to find one another and to marry, now their neshamos are quiet. They're tranquil. They settle down. The shatran occupies a major place in halacha. He's entitled to get paid. And in fact, okay, there's a lot of discussion exactly what the source is. The person on his own goes ahead, even though no one asked you. No one asked you. Who asked you? Doesn't matter. If I recommend to you a zivuk and you take me up on it and you end up marrying that girl, I am entitled to money. The going rate. What is the going rate? I don't know. Whatever it is, it is. And Chazal says it's like the halacha that if you have a field, I have no right to go onto your field and to plow it and to plant and to produce a crop. I have no right. Private property. But let's say I illegally enter into your field and I plow it and I plant and I produce a magnificent crop. And I call, you know, do you see your field? Do you see the crop? Go sell it. You'll make a killing, $1 million. You who have illegally done this activity, even though Bashas Mice it was illegal, the fact that you were the cause are entitled to a cut, to a percentage for enabling this. So even though no one asked me, no one called me up and hired me for my services, I just call you up and I recommend the shidduch. It's no different than the halach of yoyreid l'soda shel chaveroi, and you enhance the field and profit is produced, you are entitled to receive a kickback for your efforts, even though l'chatchil no one asked me to do so. And there are different sources. Now, Chazal tell us that it is critical the shatran gets paid, and there are numerous stories. These are spooky, this is not my type of things to say over, but there are numerous stories where people, their marriage was unsuccessful, or mainly they did not have children until they woke up one day and they paid the shatran. Okay, there are numerous stories, documented stories, of people who went to Rav Moshe Feinstein, and they said, you know, we've been married for many years, we're coming here for, we don't have children, we're coming here for a bracha. And Rav Moshe would ask them, did you pay the shatran? And they would say, no, we didn't. Or we only gave him a small amount. Why? He didn't ask. He didn't want. He's a nice guy. He told his family. He's part of the family. He didn't want. No, go pay the shatran. Just because he says he doesn't want, doesn't need, pay the shatran what he deserves. And they paid. And lo and behold, in a short time, they had a child. There are so many stories. My parents even told me, my mother told me from my grandmother, such a story like this. Firsthand, she told me the names of the people and the exact details, in utter detail. Okay, so there are a lot of stories like this. You don't play games with a shatran. The shatran is entitled. There are many complications where there's a maschil negoimer. Someone reads a shidduch. Someone proposes the shidduch, and the boy and girl go out one or two times, and then there's trouble. And then a professional enters to smooth things out and shepherd them to the finish line. Who gets the shatranis? So there's a whole shulchan aruch, the maschil, the goymer, what the percent, what's the going rate, but it's clearly an area of halacha that's very, very serious. And okay, there's a very popular joke that shatran is roshei tevois, sheker doiver, kesef noitel. He speaks lies and he takes money in order to pull off the zivuk. Now, there are a lot of stories about Gedolei Yisrael. The Chazon Ish would buy his esrog from the money he received from shatchanus. The Maril is the mother of all minhagim. He sustained himself, his parnasa was shatchanus. He held the marsha also, the marsha, Gedolei Yisrael held the money you get for shatchanus is the most kosher money you will ever earn your entire life. Whenever you get it, you take a paycheck, there's inevitably a little bit of gezel. It's not nice to say. Yeah, you work 9 to 5. How many times during 9 to 5 did you were on the phone? Were you playing around? Did you really do your job? Every time a person gets paid, listen, you get paid, you get paid. Let's not play games. It's honest money. But there's honest money and there's squeaky clean honest money. There's no squeaky clean honest money like shatchanis money. Shatchanis money is considered in Chazal kosher geld. I read once recently in the biography of the Chazon Ish, a very good biography, and it says there in the biography that the Chazon Ish, the last year of his life alone, the last year was involved in 300 shidduchim. I believe it. I believe this book. This book is authentic. The last year of his life, can you imagine? I don't know if he made every single, but he was involved in 300 shidduchim. That's incredible, siyat d'shmaya, to be able to have to have mamash ruach hakodesh, to be mezavil. That's Hashem's work. It's not a kasha to me that the Chazon Ish is kodesh v'tohar ad me'oid, and this is what Hashem does the whole day, and he had the siyat d'shmaya to be involved in 300. That was the last year of his life. Could you imagine his entire life? I think it had the statistics of how many shidduchim they think he was involved in his entire life. It's really awesome. There is a word called rachash. We don't use this word anymore. But there used to be a word called that a person has to pay rachash. Rachash libi dovar toiv. Rachash means we had to in Zechariah to wake up. My heart was awakened with a good matter, rachash. You have to pay the rachash. Every person must make sure they pay rachash. What is rachash? It's Roshei Teves, the Rav, Rebbe, the Rebbe, Reish is the Rebbe, the Ches is the Chazan, and the Shin is, one version, is the Shadchan. These are three people who are not officially hired. No one ever gave them a contract to sign. Now today they do. A Rav today has a contract, but it used to be in the olden days in the Alta Haim, there was the Rebbe, and there's the Chazan, and there is the Shatran. No one ever gave them a contract. No one ever hired their services. They just on their own, they're there to serve. They must be paid for their services. Some say that the Shin does not stand for the Shatran, but it refers to the Shamosh. And it refers specifically to a wedding ceremony. At a wedding ceremony, under the chuppah, there are three people. There is the Mesad, the Rav, the Mesad, the Kiddushin, the Reish. The Ches is the Chazan, who sings the brachos. They have a Chazan, by the fancy weddings, they have a Chazan. That was how it was in ancient times, the Chazan. And there was the shamash. Today we'll call the shamash the caterer, the photographer, you know, the makeup artist. the shamash underneath. These are the three people. The rachash correspond to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avraham was the goymel chasodim. That's the shamash. He takes care of everything that needs to be taken care of. Yitzchak was the balavoida. Yitzchak was the Akedah, the Baal Avodah, the Tefillah. He's the Chazan. And the Rav is Yaakov, Torah, Titin Emes Liyakov. The Rachash, every bias is established under the Chuppah through Avraham, the representative, the office of Avraham sends down a representative, the office of Yitzchak sends down a representative, and the office of Yaakov sends down a representative. Under the chuppah, there you have the three representatives of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Rosh HaTevis is the Rachash. Rochash libi dovar toiv. Loi toiv heyois odam levadai. It's not good to be alone, which automatically means motza isha, motza toiv. Marriage is toiv. And who is the one that administers the toiv? Rochash libi, dovar toif. When my heart came to achieve the toif, it was done through rochash, the Rav, the Chazan, and the Shamash, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. The bayis is built on the foundation of the avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Okay, Rabbi, I will stop over here. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy. Tishem shnichnas lebris, can you kones letorva lechupa ulemasim tovim. All right, take care, everyone. Be well. Mayor, you're so quiet today. Mayor, I don't hear a word from you. Where are you?